Oh, what a good day of worship. What a good morning of worship. Now, when I was talking earlier about Wednesday night being the launch, we also know there's a little bit of weather that might be headed our way. So I want to remind you, especially if you're new to First Baptist Church and maybe new to the coast, in Brunswick County and the coast, when we talk about inclement weather, we don't mean snow. Our inclement weather policy is on Wednesday, we follow what the schools do. So if school is canceled or lets out early, we will not have Wednesday night. That's just the barometer for us. Sundays is a little bit different, but you don't need to worry about Sunday this week. But I've gotten some questions, and our Wednesday night, basically, to make it easy on everybody to remember, we follow the schools, what they do. So if they cancel, we cancel, close early, then we do not have services that night. On the other hand, if the hurricane breezes through between 10 and 12 in the morning and it's gone and school's still let out, then we'll probably be here. But you get the idea. And pray for me. I'm going to say something I've never said in my life. My daughter's getting married next weekend. Yeah. So Kim and I will be out through the week, and that's another reason, and that's a purely selfish reason I would ask you to pray for the hurricane to go away. As where the wedding is in Charlotte, and we'll be driving there and midweek, but I'll be praying for us in that. I do appreciate your your prayers along with that as well. So and encourage you again, be here next Sunday. You do not want to miss hearing these two great preachers in both services next Sunday. We return this morning to our series in the book of Exodus, the Old Testament book of Exodus. If you have your Bible, find there with me Exodus chapter 16 and hold your place there. Exodus chapter 16. As we have seen in the last two installments, the Israelites are out of Egypt. They have been set free from bondage. Pharaoh suddenly realizes what he has done. He chases them to the edge of the Red Sea, where God performs one of the great miracles of history and in the Bible to demonstrate the basic truth that your God will fight for you. Your God will fight for you. He will show up and he will be your God in every circumstance and every situation. We looked at that last week. So they are now on their journey with God to the land that God has promised them. And keeping in mind, this is their first time. This is the first time any of them have ever been out of Egypt in another land on a journey like this. So they're learning about God as they go. And these are the early stages and the early steps of learning a relationship with God and what that relationship looks like. So it's instructive to us to see what God is teaching them, because God teaches us the same principles. And this morning we're going to key in on one basic but significant truth, fundamental truth of Scripture, that God provides for his people as they fulfill his purposes. God always provides for his people as they fulfill his purposes. God takes us on a journey. When you came to faith in Christ, you began that journey, that spiritual journey of growing in Christ. That's why it's called following Christ, because he doesn't have you sit still and stagnant in your spiritual life. He wants to take you on a journey. And that journey is reflected in this life, and everything you go through, the relationship you have, are reflected in that journey. Basic to life is provision, taking care of our basic needs, and God always does that for us. We learn more about that when we understand that we are on a journey with God. It's hard to believe summer is basically over, right? Now, earlier this summer in June, I went to the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas, Texas. But I made my decision to go to the convention later than usual. Just trying to decide if I was going to go this year pressed me a little closer and a little closer to the deadlines. So when it came time to make airline reservations, I was making them later than I typically did, which means I had fewer choices than I usually do. Now, if you don't know me well, let me tell you, I'm hypoglycemic. What that means, that's a big word that means Bob's always hungry. That's what that means. And I have to gauge when I eat and watch what I eat, but to make sure that I'm sane and happy and not rubbing all of you the wrong way, I need to eat. And I need to eat on a regular schedule. Well, so usually when I fly, I'm able to make arrangements for that as I go. But this time, I was at the mercy of the airline, took the flights they had me take, there to Dallas, and back from Dallas to Wilmington. And the scenario was precisely the worst possible scenario for my eating schedule. I had headaches, I was irritable, I was hungry all the time that I was flying and traveling, and in Dallas, I was just hungry. Because I forgot something very important. Provision when you're in place, staying put, is one thing, but provision when you're on a journey is a whole other thing. And provision when you're on a journey takes more planning and more strategy. The good news is that God knows what you need when you need it. And God always provides for His people who fulfill His purposes on their journey. Did you know the very term provision implies journey? It implies you're moving forward. The term provision comes from Latin words that mean looking ahead or seeing ahead. And when the Bible teaches about provision and says that God will provide for you, what the Bible means is that while you're on this journey that God is leading you on, God has already put into place what you need before you get there. God is already providing for you. He sees ahead what you need before you get there, and God takes care of His people who fulfill His purpose. As we return to the Exodus this morning, we're going to read two portions of Scripture that illustrate a pattern that develops between chapter 15 and through chapter 16. And the pattern is very simply this. The people of God, now they have passed through the Red Sea, and they've looked back, and they've seen this great work of God as God has rescued them from the Egyptians. They've crossed through the Red Sea. They've come out the other side. They have seen the sea, the Red Sea, close behind them. They have seen the power of God to rescue them and God's promise fulfilled that He would fight for them. And as they travel forward, a basic, simple truth comes to bear on them. They are hungry and they are tired and they are thirsty. Hundreds of thousands, perhaps up to 2 million Israelites, traveling in an unfamiliar territory, unfamiliar wilderness. Now they're hungry. What do they start doing? They start complaining. They start groaning and moaning and grumbling and complaining, and who's going to feed us? And they say to Moses, we'd have been better off dying in Egypt than starving to death out here in no man's land in the wilderness. You don't know what you're doing. There's a pattern through chapters 15 and 16 that starts with the Israelites complaining. Then comes God responding through Moses to their complaint. And then comes God's provision. And there are three distinct provisions through these two chapters, chapters 15 and 16. First, it's water. They complain. They're thirsty. We have no water. God miraculously provides water for them. Second is meat. God provides quail. They start grumbling and griping. What are they going to eat? God provides quail for them. And then last is manna. They're no bread, they're hungry, and God provides manna. That is bread from heaven, as we'll see in just a moment. In each case, as we follow this pattern, God also says each time that He will provide for them to test them. We'll come back to that in just a moment as well. God has intention behind His provision, and He has something He wants us to learn, which begins with learning the truth that God always provides for His people who fulfill His purposes. So this morning, we're going to read two blocks of Scripture that represent this interaction and this pattern of the people of God between God, Moses, and the people. Chapter 16 and verse 1. And the Bible says, the entire Israelite community departed from Elim and came to the wilderness of Shin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they left the land of Egypt. The entire Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by pots of meat and ate all the bread we wanted. Instead, you brought us into the wilderness to make this whole assembly die of hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. This way I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "This evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the Lord's glory because he has heard your complaints about him. For who are we that you complain about us?" Now move to verse 13, chapter 16 and verse 13. "So at evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew all around the camp. When the layer of dew evaporated, there were fine flakes on the desert surface, as fine as frost on the ground. And when the Israelites saw it, they asked one another, 'What is it?' Because they didn't know what it was. Moses told them, 'It is the bread of the Lord. It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each person needs to eat. You may take 2 quarts per individual according to the number of people each of you has in his tent.' So the Israelites did this. Some gathered a lot, some a little. And when they measured it by quarts, the person who gathered a lot had no surplus, and the person who gathered a little had no shortage. Each gathered as much as he needed to eat. And Moses said to them, 'No one is to let any of it remain until morning.' But they didn't listen to Moses. Some people left part of it until morning, and it bred worms, and it stank. Therefore, Moses was angry with them. But they gathered it every morning, each gathered as much as he needed to eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted." Will God provide for you on this journey of life? Will God take care of you? Yes. God wants to take care of you. God has designed your life and your growth in Christ so he can take care of you. When you came to faith in Christ and started this spiritual journey with him, and when you started life's journey with him, God said, "I will take care of you." Maybe this morning you're struggling for basic provision of life, or you're wondering about the future, you're struggling about tomorrow. I want you to know this morning, God provides. God provides. God loves you. God will take care of you. Even with that, there are basic principles we need to remember. And as the Israelites begin their journey with God, and for the very first time find out that God will provide for them, God reveals these basic teachings, these basic principles again. And we should refresh ourselves in them, because anytime we struggle with the basic needs of life or with our future or decisions we have to make, we need to be reminded of these basics of the way God provides and what God wants us to remember. So look at these with me this morning. The first thing to remember is that God is always ultimately the source of our provision. God is always ultimately the source of our provision. So when we complain, we are complaining against God, and when we praise, we should always praise God. But God is always ultimately the source of all of our provision. The Bible says the Israelites, fresh from the Red Sea experience, the Bible says the entire Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They had just seen the great work of God, but now facing a new problem, not an extraordinary or exceptional problem, but a basic day-by-day, sometimes hour-by-hour problem, they start grumbling again. Sure, God can do the exceptional. God can part the Red Sea. God can set us free, but can God feed us? Will God take care of us? Will God be there for us day in and day out? So they grumble and they gripe to Aaron and Moses. Look at verse 6. "Moses and Aaron said to them, 'This evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the Lord's glory because he's heard your complaints about him. For who are we that you complain about us?'" You know what Moses is saying? "You're giving me way too much credit. You're giving me way too much credit. I'm not the one taking care of you. I'm not the one that got you out of Egypt. And I'm not the one that's going to provide for you ultimately. I'm just the messenger, and I am the leader. I'm taking us where God wants us to go. But you need to understand, God is your provider. Why complain to me when God is the source of your provision? And you're going to get to see God provide for you. You thought parting the Red Sea was something. Wait till you see God take care of you every day, day in and day out, just because he loves you." Ultimately, God is always the source of our provision. Now, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, Pastor Bob. I work a job and I earn a paycheck. So when I earn that paycheck, that means my work and my job are the source of that provision. No, God is letting you participate in the created order. And God designed the created order so that hard work and good work brings benefits. When you do it in commerce, that benefit is a paycheck. When you plant seed, that benefit is that crops grow. But God has created a created order, designed the created order in such a way that if we participate with Him, we reap the fruits of our labor. So again, ultimately, God is the provider because He has designed a created order that provides for those who participate with Him. Ultimately, always, God is the provider. So when we complain and illustrate a lack of faith, even if our complaint is against people, if it's against a boss who doesn't pay us enough, if it's against the loss of a job, if we complain because we don't know what to do next in our lives, or we complain because we're looking for a job, if we complain because our spouse is not working or works too much, all these complaints related to provision are ultimately complaints against God. You're complaining because you don't trust God to take care of you. You don't trust God to work in the moment and provide for you. You don't believe God knows where you are on the journey and knows what comes next. So you're going to park and complain. Ultimately, all complaining is a lack of faith and a lack of trust in God. In the same way, ultimately, all celebrating is celebrating what God has done for you. James wrote, all good gifts come from the Heavenly Father, the Father of lights. Every good thing in my life, James says, came from Almighty God. Who else should I praise? I'm not good enough to produce everything in my life. Every good thing has come from God. So always remember, when you praise, praise God. Thank God for what He's doing in your life. And do it regularly. That's where the whole idea of a blessing at the meal came from, of saying grace or having prayer at the meal. It's pausing for a moment at the table with food in front of you and saying simply, God, thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for providing for me. Because ultimately, all provision comes from God. Jesus said, knowing that means, why are you worrying about tomorrow? Why do you worry when you know that God is a provider? God will take care of you. Why worry? It really doesn't add anything to your life, does it? In Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than that? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather in the barns, but your Heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they? Therefore, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In 2013, the British Nutrition Foundation in the UK surveyed 27,500 students between the ages of 5 and 16 to see how well they understood where their food came from. Here's some examples of the results of the survey in the UK asking students where food came from. A third of the students in the UK believed that cheese came from plants. And the same third believed that fish fingers came from chicken. 1 out of 10, 10%, thought that tomatoes grew above ground. Another nearly third of the students thought that pasta and bread somehow came from meat and were made from meat. And 10% thought that potatoes grew on trees. We laugh at them. We chuckle at that. Isn't that cute? Isn't that funny? How do you think God feels when we completely forget where everything good in our life came from? Everything good in your life has but one source. Every provision in your life has but one source, your God. So when you complain, you're complaining about Him and you're illustrating a lack of trust. And when you praise, praise Him. because he takes care of you every day. The second reminder, along with the fact that God ultimately is the source of all our provision, second, God teaches us to trust through his provision. God teaches us to trust through his provision. Trust and obedience work together, and they grow in our relationship with Christ. The more you trust and obey, the more you trust and obey. The more you obey and trust God, the more you obey and trust God. You grow in that as you grow in your relationship with God. And God's designed our spiritual relationship with him that way. Because understand, for God, provision is not about stuff. It's not about stuff, giving you stuff, providing you stuff. For God, provision is about your relationship with him. It demonstrates his care for you because you're his child. So he's going to take care of you. You're his creation. He's going to take care of you. It's part of your relationship with him. So for God, it's part of a growing relationship as well. Each time in these chapters that God talks about providing for his people, he says something like we read in verse 4. Look at verse 4 again. This way, God says, this way I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. What an interesting statement. God says, I will provide for them, and by this I'm testing them to see if they will follow my instructions. What is God talking about? The key is in the term instructions. The word instructions translates the same word in the Bible that gives the Jews their word Torah or law, the first five books of the Bible. Now, we haven't arrived yet at the Ten Commandments. We haven't arrived yet at Mount Sinai where the people of God receive the law of God, the law of God being the boundaries of relationships, how God defines their relationship with him. They haven't come to that point yet. Here's what God is saying. I'm going to teach them to trust and obey me now so that when bigger things come, they'll understand the answer is to trust and obey me. So when the law comes, the instructions for living in right relationship with me, they will remember that I'm already in relationship with them. I have provided for them. But they'll also remember that the right course of action is always to trust and obey God. Believe what God says. So when they hear my instructions come through Moses from Mount Sinai, they'll be ready. They'll have grown in their faith. They'll have taken this next step. And obedience and trust will build more obedience and trust. And they'll find out that the best relationships come about when they listen to me. Their relationships with one another and their relationships with God. This is one of the most critical elements of our understanding of God's provision and our understanding for us to understand why it is sometimes we struggle with whether or not God's taking care of us and whether or not we're experiencing God's provision. Remember, God wants to find out if you're going to obey him, if you're going to trust him, if you're listening to his instructions. Our problem is often we try to live outside of God's instructions while at the same time expecting God to provide for us. We try to live outside of God's instruction. We try to do our own thing. And then suddenly we're in desperate need of help. Then we go to God and we say, well, God, we thought you'd provide for us. We thought you'd take care of us. But all the while, we've been ignoring what God said, how God said to live, how God said to have relationships, how God said to handle our money, how God said to be generous with our resources. We've ignored all that. And now we're in trouble, crying out to God for provision. When God says, well, if you'll listen to and obey and trust my instructions, my provision's already there. When you arrive along the steps of the journey, you find out how I've taken care of you. But when you ignore my instruction and you try to do it your own way, you miss it. That's why, again, by the way, that's why so many believers have no idea what it looked like for God to do a work in their lives. What it looks like to experience Almighty God's hand in their affairs and their provision in their life because they are distracted by their selfishness and conceit and doing things their way. Then suddenly when we're in desperate trouble, we run back to God and we say, God, I thought you were going to take care of me. And God said I was. I thought you were going to listen to me. Because if you had, you would have already found my provision. I take care of those. I provide for those who are fulfilling my purposes. If you are struggling with the basic provisions of life, if you're struggling with decision making, if you're struggling between right and wrong, take a step back and ask yourself, am I living by God's instructions? Am I building faith and obedience by every act of faith and obedience? Or am I ignoring God until it gets so bad that then all I can do is cry out to Him? God will show you the answer to that. God will show you the answer to that. To build faith and obedience, you build that by listening to God's instructions, following what He says in every aspect of your life, money, relationships, work, play, leisure, child rearing. You listen to God, you apply His instructions, and you participate in what God is doing and wants to do on the journey of your life. The Apostle Paul wrote, I've known what it means to live with plenty and to live with want. In other words, I've known what it means to have an abundance and be affluent, and I know what it means to live in poverty and have nothing. And he says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am because, he said, God provides for me according to His riches in glory. God takes care of me, and I know it. I know that God will take care of me. That leads us to the third truth we want to remember this morning. It's that God consistently cares for our needs through His provision. God consistently cares for our needs through His provision. God is building that trust, but God is also very consistent. He is a consistent God, a forward-moving God, and He takes care of us consistently through His provision. The Israelites learned not only about God's provision, but that when God provided, He provided abundantly. He provided all that they needed, but provided what they needed. So again, they would trust Him for what else they needed. So He provided abundantly, meaning He provided all they needed. God has no lack. He has all the resources He needs to take care of His people. And He provides for what we need. They also learned that when God provides unexpectedly. God provides in ways we don't always expect. And He takes care of us in ways we don't always expect. That's the joy and the fun of seeing God's provision on this journey of life. When we follow His instructions and listen to Him, we get to show up at places where God's provided for us a remarkable illustration of His grace and His power. He takes care of us. He loves us. He moves in our lives, often in unexpected ways. If you grew up in church, especially if you went to Sunday school, you've heard about the manna from heaven. You've heard about this bread. The Israelites wake up in the morning and there it is, and they've got to get it all before the sun gets too hot and it melts it away, but the next day there it is again. And they're only to get as much of the bread, as much as the manna, as God has told them to get, as much as what they need. And because they get as much as what they need, just what they need for that day, they have no lack, but they also have no surplus. They have just what they need for that day. But did you notice when the Israelites came out and they saw the bread flaked on the ground? It looked like flakes in the desert, shining in the desert. The first time they saw it, their response was, what is that? The question, what is that, is the word manna. That's what that word means. So every time, they couldn't think of a name for it. They never could think of a name for it. So every time they picked it up, they called it, what is that? What is that? And it stuck. So through the rest of history, the bread that fell from heaven, the unexpected provision of God, you couldn't name it. It was just from God. And they looked at it and they said, what is that? We don't have anything like that. God provided that for us. That's manna. What is that? They called it. So they learn that God provides abundantly, but He only provides what we need when we need it, but He provides abundantly. Now, a lot of times by abundantly, we think that means that God gives us a whole lot more than we need right away. But how does that build trust and obedience? And we think by abundantly that God is giving us all our provision, and we've got to be the ones to stretch it out and to take care of it. So a result of that often is that we become people who don't give out of the abundance God has given us. The problem is we think what we see is all there is. And we operate that way. What we see is all there is. But the Bible is very clear, especially in the area of provision, that what we see is not all there is. That God provides for us, as Paul says, out of the riches of his glory. His storehouse, unseen to us, is where God is getting all this provision. It's where he's planning and taking care of you on this journey. And he will meet your needs as you go, as we read earlier, Jesus put it, every day, day by day. He even says, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread. God will take care of you. He gives you daily manna to take care of you. That's what God wants to do. He does it out of his abundance, consistently, and often unexpectedly. This was difficult for the Israelites to get their minds around because in an agricultural society, they lived much like we do in a tourist culture. That is, in certain months of the year, they generated most of their income. When the harvest came in and they brought the harvest in, that harvest had to last them till the next time they planted and harvested. Much like many of you know, through the season of summer, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, is when you're generating most of your business, and that's got to last you until next summer for many businesses and many of yours as well. You'll understand what they're talking about. So our inclination, though, sometimes is to say, well, I've got to hang on to all of that. The difference between hoarding and saving is hoarding is a sin because it's unfaithful. Now, God is not teaching that right here. God's just teaching right here, trust me, for provision. Later, he will teach the difference. But it's an important point to make here that we are always showing whether or not we trust God and his provision by the way we behave about the resources he has given us. And we have to understand he'll always give us what we need. And he'll give it often unexpectedly. How can we experience the unexpected work of God when we're only doing what we expect? If we're generating provision ourselves in ways that we expect and only ways that we expect, if we're not following God's instructions for generosity and giving as well as earning an income, how can we ever expect to see God do what only God would do? God wants you to meet him along the way of this journey, to find out that God's resources are abundant and overflowing, and God will take care of your needs each step and each stage of the time. God will take care of you and provide for you, because God always provides for his people who are fulfilling his purpose, who are on that journey to follow Christ, in that growing spiritually in faith and obedience and living for Christ even in this material world. God always provides for us. 148 years ago this month, Nathaniel Langford led an expedition into uncharted parts of Wyoming, deep into the forest and the deeper parts of the West, and they arrived in the back part, uncharted of Wyoming. He and nine explorers and some military personnel and some cooks, and they trucked themselves into Wyoming, and as they were moving forward, suddenly they heard a great noise. And they stopped where they were and they looked up and they saw off in the distance, shining above the landscape, a magnificent flow of water. And one of the members of their party yelled, "Geyser, geyser," and they all spurred their horses forward to close the gap, to get closer to what they were seeing, this magnificent sight. And when they were close enough, they felt they could see it, but they were safe. They dismounted and they stood there and they watched, and they even camped there for days, because they learned the consistency of this geyser was extraordinary. 9 times a day for 15 to 25 minutes, almost exactly, suddenly this great gush of water would explode from the ground into great heights, 125 feet high. It would blast up and it would stay there 15, 20, 25 minutes, then suddenly disappear into the ground. And they would look at each other and they would say, "Let's wait and see it again. Let's watch this again." And it would. Once, twice, three, four, five times, 9 times a day. Bam. there it would go. And while they were there, one of his colleagues, another explorer, said, "We need to name it. What should we name it? Let's call it Old Faithful. Because it's always consistent and it's always there." God is always on time. He is always faithful and he is always consistent. He hasn't forgotten about you. God is going to take care of you. The question is whether or not you're willing to trust him and obey his word, follow his instructions, and watch what God will do. Maybe you've come in this morning, you're confused about your status, your provision, your needs. First, look and see, God, am I trying to do this on my own? And see what God tells you. See what God shows you. Turn it back over to him. Maybe you just need to do that today. Just say, God, I want to give that to you. I believe you, God. I trust you. I've been trusting you, God. I need you to strengthen my trust today because I just want to obey you and trust you. I believe my God will take care of me. Would you say that to him today? Now, it could be some of you in this room this morning, maybe one, two. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You know, throughout Scripture, God gives us glimpses of the great provision of salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And in this very story, we had one of those glimpses, one of those marvelous foreshadowings of who Christ is. They woke up in the morning and they saw scattered on the ground something unexpected, bread from heaven. They didn't know how to identify it, but they kind of knew what it was, and they knew what it was for, and they knew it was God's provision, and they knew that God was consistent, and they knew they could trust God, and they knew that he would take care of them with this manna, this bread from heaven, God sent, unexplained in human terms. But it's their provision. Jesus himself called himself the bread of heaven. He likened himself to that manna. He reminded the Jews, that pictured me. I'm the unexpected King of glory who has come as a carpenter, the bread of heaven to provide for you, to save you from your sins. Sometimes we need God to remind us of what he's done for us. And if you need Christ today, he has reminded you what he's done for you. He will save you when you ask him to. He will cleanse you when you ask him to. He will give you eternal life and forgiveness when you trust him and when you obey his word. If you've never trusted Christ today, in a moment I'm going to invite you to do that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, some in this room, God, needed to be refreshed in these basic truths, God, reminded that you provide for us. The only question is whether we're trusting you, whether we believe you, whether we obey you, whether we're moving on the journey, the direction you want us to go. And God, I pray you would show us that this morning. Father, help us to renew our trust in you. God, do that for us. Provide for us, Father. And I pray for those in this room, God, who right now need a reminder of your provision. I pray, God, you would lighten our load. You would take the burden from our shoulders. You would remind us and you would provide for us, God, right where we are. Whatever that need is, Father, start working in it right now and show us, God, how you're working in that need. But God, if we need to once again trust you for the journey, to trust you for our provision, to trust you, God, for what comes next, I pray, Father, you'd show us that. And today, Father, right where we are, or coming to the altar, God, we would kneel down. We would bow our hearts to you. We would once again say, yes, I trust you, God. Strengthen that trust in me. And Father, if there's one who needs Christ as their Savior today, I pray, God, they would trust Jesus to forgive them of their sins, the bread of heaven who's come from you to give us eternal life. So, God, as we come to a time of response, Father, whatever that response is on our hearts, Father, I pray we would yield up to you. We would yield up to you, God, all that's on our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.